Desire your prayers that the Lord will anoint and bless his word today. I'm very grateful for all that God does for me. He is very faithful. He has not failed me yet. And I don't expect him to. I want to speak to us today on wisdom. And I'm sure that throughout all of our lives, we've heard many messages on this topic. And possibly the most familiar scripture would be, if any lack wisdom, what are we to do? We are to ask of God. And the scripture says he will give it liberally. And he will not upbraid us because we lack. So wisdom is extremely, maybe more important than we often think. We may take it like, well, do we seek for it? I want to encourage us to seek daily for the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And this is a scripture, and it really was a scripture that was prophecy of Christ, that he would have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. And the Lord spoke it to me and said, you need this. If it's for Christ, it's for you. So that's part of my daily prayer, is asking the Lord to grant those great merits that are for Christ, and they can be for me. Thank the Lord. Amen. And I'm thinking of how hopeful the scripture is that we just quoted, that he will not upbraid us. I believe that we all find places in our life that we lack wisdom.
Yes, that's right.
And we may not be seeking for it quite as readily as we should, and suddenly something happens in our life and we react, and we step back and we say, oh God, have mercy on me.
Yes.
And he does. He has compassion.
Thank you, Lord.
And when he sees that we lack this wisdom, he doesn't upbraid me. He doesn't beat me.
That's right.
He says, no, if you ask, I'll give it to you liberally. And I will be there when you need wisdom. That's what I feel is so important, that we seek for the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. We may not need it today, but we may need it tomorrow.
That's right.
And I believe because we have asked, he'll give it at the moment that I need it the most. We probably, when thinking of wisdom or being wise, we probably think of the parable that Jesus gave of building a house. Someone that was wise, and they built on a solid rock. And we were taught that when we were children, like this. Whether we understood it all right then, It stayed with us. It echoed through our minds. It spoke to us in different phases and ages of our life. And it worked. Because we saw that it was unwise to build on sand. And the little account, it said, and the storms came, and the floods came, and this happened, and that happened, and it said, that house did not fall. And so it taught me, and it taught you, and we stayed with it. And then Jesus gave another parable that should speak to us daily, today. He told of five that were wise. And five that were not wise.
That's right.
They were all counted as saved in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And they, time went on. And everybody slumbered and slept and lived life morning by morning, day by day. And something happened to those that were not wise. Their oil leaked out. But those that were wise, they kept their oils, their lamps full.
Yes, that's right.
It's wise for you and me to daily keep our oil fresh. You know what the oil represents? It represents the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh, don't lose contact with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Keep in tune with the Holy Spirit. Don't forget or disregard maybe the sound of the voice of the Spirit.
Help us, Lord.
Because you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Because the bridegroom is going to come. He hasn't come yet. And we've all been slumbering and sleeping, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
And living life. Going to jobs. And our minds are full of sometimes other things. Oh, let's draw our minds in. Keep your mind stayed upon the things that are eternal. And be wise. Because one day, the bridegroom is going to come. And the cry is, go ye out to meet him.
Yes.
And if you're ready, and if you're wise, you'll go without any fear. And you'll meet him face to face. And when those that go in, and the bridegroom shuts the door, there will be those that go and try to regain some wisdom and find some oil, and they'll come and it'll be too late. Be wise. Be wise. Well, when we also think of wisdom, and we think sometimes, I do anyway, and that's the message today. Going to turn our attention to the wisest man. He was a man that God called and showed much favor to. He was King Solomon.
Yes.
He was David's son. He was in the lineage to rule and reign over the children of Israel. And he was he felt very insufficient, didn't he? He may not have just worded it that way, but God came to him in a dream and said, "What do you need? What can I ask?" He says, "What shall I give thee?" And Solomon chose to ask for wisdom and knowledge to be able to guide his people in a right way. He didn't ask for riches or wealth. He really didn't ask for honor. But God said, "Because you ask for this thing that pleases me, you will please God to ask for wisdom."
Yes.
He says, "I'm going to give you riches, wealth and honor. I'm going to give you all of it." And we know examples of how Solomon ruled the people. We know one of the first accounts that was given were two women with one dead baby. And they came. Both women claimed the child. And Solomon, in his wisdom, said, "Bring me a sword." And he said, "Cut the baby in half and give this half to her." And the real mother showed up. And oh, that left the fear of God on the people of Israel when they saw that he was ruling with such wisdom to expose truth.
Yeah.
Wisdom exposes truth.
That's right.
So I'm going to do some reading for you, and I hope that you can hold on to it a little bit. Well, we're going to turn to Proverbs, the first chapter first, and see what Solomon says in the beginning of Proverbs. And by the way, Proverbs, the key word in Proverbs is wisdom. And it also has this identifying statement. I got this from a commentary. The ability to live life skillfully. So that was the purpose of all of these words of wisdom that Solomon wrote down. And it was preserved. And down through the ages of its preservation, people have read the words of Proverbs. And its message is to have the ability to live life skillfully.
Yes.
So the beginning of this says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, is to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, and to give subtlety to the simple. You know what? We can be pretty simple sometimes. We can be sort of unlearned. And God has to come and teach us a few things.
That's right.
And he has to open up our minds. He has to enlighten us. He has to take his word. I want to tell you, there is a scripture that says, something about the writing of many books and the weariness of study. I can't quote that exactly. But even the word of the Lord speaks about other books. There's more books out there in this world that are called self-help books. Anybody ever read or have read a self-help book? Can I say that if you want the true wisdom to look here? And when we become simple and maybe we even feel a dependency of maybe wanting to talk to someone that we feel is wise. Have you ever felt that way? I have. Oh, God wants to speak to us.
That's right.
In my simplicity. So it says here, to the young man, he wants to give knowledge and discretion. You know what it means to be discreet? It's partly to be wise. It's partly to make right choices. Discreet, recognizing a danger ahead. Recognizing the enemy has a trap. Does he have a trap for us? The scripture clearly says he does. And we need wisdom to be able to recognize. You know, when I'm driving to Arkansas by myself, you know, I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, help me to see the dangers.
Yes.
I'm by myself.
That's right.
I might not see the danger. The Lord wants us to see the danger of the traps and snares of the enemy to turn you from your way. He wants you to have discretion. Be discreet. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Does that all sound appealing to us today?
Yes.
It does to me. Oh, Lord, help us to be wise. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise. And their dark sayings, when sometimes I don't really understand. Don't rush ahead when you don't understand. But wait on the Lord. And he shall direct your path. That's wise. That's being discreet. So, now I'm going to read a commentator. And this is a wonderful subject for you to study if you want to go home and study. But I'm not going to cover it all for you today. But I hope we can get something to take home with us. Proverbs provides God's detailed instructions for his people to successfully live with the practical affairs of every day. Is God concerned about our practical affairs every day?
Yes, he is.
Number one, he's concerned about your soul.
That's right.
But the practical affairs of the day will affect your soul positively or negatively.
That's right.
depending on how wise you are. So that statement, somebody, I thought it had merit. To live with the practical affairs of every day. So, with all the success of Solomon's early life, can't we all recognize how successful he was in his younger life?
Yes.
He was blessed. But in the end of his reign, it said he fell away from God. So his story was ultimately, we call, tragic. But there's lessons for us to learn. It's not all in vain or vanity. It's not all. We're going to now go past Proverbs, and what's the next book after Proverbs? Ecclesiastes. Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Well, it was Solomon. So we're going to examine the book of Ecclesiastes a little bit. It was written in Solomon's old age. Now remember, Proverbs in his earlier life was wise. He was the wisest man because God made him wise, gave him understanding and wisdom above, the scripture said, above all kings before him and after. That's how much God blessed him. So, the book of Ecclesiastes, I questioned his ultimate end. And maybe you have too. And maybe we've even said there wasn't any hope for Solomon. But study the book of Ecclesiastes now. So I want to share this with us today. And I'm going to call it the possible other side of Solomon. And I'm not going to be able to go into the depth of it, but I think you can. It was the commentary was Matthew Henry, and what he said about the book of Ecclesiastes is that it is a sermon in print. So it's a message. There's something in there, and it could be in between the lines. It may not be just open and above board, and you understand it fully, but you have to finish the book. You have to read to the end. Okay? The key word, it also said that it was ultimately called a profitable sermon. This is the commentary describing or commenting on Ecclesiastes. I have personally not enjoyed reading Ecclesiastes. I would want to reread it and study it now with a little different view. So it's counted as a profitable sermon. When we have messages that we believe God has given to his servants, and we sense or feel the anointing of the Spirit, and we may go away and we may say, oh, that was a good sermon. Or we may get online and we may listen to this message or that message and come away from that and say, oh, that was a good message. That's profitable.
Yes.
Something that is speaking to us of how I can be successful in life as a child of God,
yes,
as His servant. It's profitable. So that's what this book has been counted as, a profitable sermon. The key word in Ecclesiastes is vanity. And I think that's the reason I haven't liked it. Because he wrote so many things and said, this is vanity. It's just vanity. It's of no value. Remember, he wrote Proverbs when he was in tune with God, when he was wise. But something happened in his life, and he moved away from that, and he moved away from God, and he did things that God was not in favor of. So now he's writing from a different perspective in his old age. I'm going to say to you today, until you get to old age, you won't have a full perspective of life itself. You have a perspective of life in every and different stages of life. And we want to bring part of that out later. But you get to old age and look back, and you begin to analyze where you've been, where you were, where you've come from. There are people, young people here today, that is old enough to look back. To remember, you've had some experiences, if you're saved, that God has proven himself to you or spoken to you and dealt with you. You have some experiences. You get to old age, and there will be a lot of experiences to look back on and remember. And oh, that we would be wise down through our life, down through those teenage years, down through those 20s and 30s. Oh, 30s and 40s are, to me, wonderful years. You've learned a few things by the time you get to 30 and 40. You're a little bit more capable. You've learned how to do your job better, maybe. I don't know. Lots of things. But those, to me, are prime years. 50s, wonderful. You've finally reached a place that you've had a little bit more wisdom. You pass on to your 60s. And surely that wisdom has taken root in your life and produced something that you are getting more solid and steadfast and unmovable and established. By the time we reach that phase of our life, surely we should be more established. But you can be established in every phase of life through wisdom.
Yes.
The wisdom from above. Not the wisdom from self-help books, but wisdom from above. Oh God, what does the scripture say? What does the Holy Spirit, what's the job of the Holy Spirit? Is to lead you and guide you into all truth. You're safe. As long as you follow the voice of the Spirit and you follow the Word of God, you're safe. Thank the Lord. So, let me see where I've concluded here for right now. One thing about Proverbs that I felt was noteworthy from the commentator is that Solomon, in Proverbs, he kept his integrity. He not only was wise, but he was not moved to disregard integrity. That's noteworthy. So, we'll go on now. We've got past the vanity and... All right, let's consider the underlying message of Ecclesiastes. And I'm not wise enough to say it came from me. This is from Matthew Henry. And it says the underlying message was the futile emptiness of trying to be happy apart from God. That's the underlying message of what Solomon is trying to say. When he said this is vanity and that is vanity, and what he is saying is it's emptiness. If you're trying to live your life without God. Does that make sense to us?
Yes.
Does that speak to us? It should. This is written by a man that was very wise, had the wisdom that God gave, understanding beyond all others. And he failed. I want to tell you something. It is wise for you to recognize that you can start out right and end up wrong. That's reality. We have an opposer. We have an enemy. And he's going about and he's roaring and he's seeking whom he may devour. And if you become unwise and let the oil leak out, he'll find you. He'll take advantage of you. Do you believe that? He will. Oh, I'm going to read this underlying message again. The futile emptiness of trying to be happy apart from God. May we all carry that one home with us. Solomon in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, and I'm not going to be reading all of these verses. I'm going to be telling you what it says. He did not give his name. He is not saying Solomon, the author. Like over in Proverbs, he started out and he introduced himself, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. He doesn't do that in Ecclesiastes. And Matthew Henry feels that he did this because of his sin. He didn't want to lift himself up as an example that he had fallen away. What does he call himself in the first verse? He just calls himself the preacher. A preacher, the scripture says, for the preacher to seek out words and parables and words to teach the people. And he learned some things in all of his life. He looked back over the years where he had integrity, and then he began to see himself fall away. And so he's now just a preacher. And he said, the commentator said, because his sin had brought trouble on himself, on the kingdom, and had destroyed his peace with God. Oh, that's wise to recognize your failure and it takes away your peace. Admit it. Admit your sin. What does the scripture say? It says that we should confess our sins. Don't cover and hide. It says you will not prosper if you try to present yourself as, I'm going to say, a hypocrite. You won't prosper. This word, the preacher, it came from a word called Koheleth. K-O-H-E-L-E-T-H. Koheleth, maybe. Do you know what it meant? This should be an underlying message to us also. So the preacher represented this word, Koheleth, and it meant repenteth or repenting soul. Does that give you a little bit different view of Solomon? Do you think that possibly in this book he is recognizing how vain his choices were and that he wants to repent? Is God one that hears our prayers of repentance? So now we're going to skip to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. And I think this is the most important because it's a conclusion, 12th chapter. And it starts out and it says, it speaks to the young man. When life is beginning, remember something. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but because Solomon jumps into going from when he remembered his youth and he went to his old age. And, you know, we all say, well, they're called the golden years. They're not always golden. Physical problems set in. Weaknesses. Changes. Changes in the way that you even feel about things. So we're really not going to consider the old age right yet. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember the one that created you. I don't know if this was in a Sunday school lesson or if I heard it on a message. And it said that sometimes the older we get, the more we feel dependent on the Lord. Mm. And whoever said this, I cannot remember. They said, when I was 20 years younger, I felt like I was pretty independent. Whatever phase you're in right now, be wise. Recognize that God created you and He is your God. And He knows how to take you to old age, doesn't He? So Solomon is beginning with the beginning. He's looking back in the beginning of Ecclesiastes. And it was before time consumed all of the phases of his life. I want to tell you something. Time is consuming the phases of your life at this moment. You're not going to be the same tomorrow that you were today. You'll be one day older. Oh, well, that doesn't sound like very much. But the days are stacking up. Time is stacking up. When I was 50, I didn't really think about being this old. But time brought me to it. Time is taking you somewhere. Did you know it? Even if you're a teenager, time's doing something with you.
That's right.
And as time goes on, we find that something happens to our hair. It changes in its color. So he was looking at the phases of time in his life and the close of life was now in sight. Maybe you say, well, the close of my life is not in sight. I still feel like I'm going to have a number of more years, and you may. But the reality is you may not. There are ministers in the past that have suggested go to the cemetery and see the different lengths of the graves. Don't take life for granted. Be wise. Recognize that time could end for you tomorrow. Maybe you have, you know, when we think of those who have passed on and we didn't really consider that time was catching up with our loved ones, did we? When Lauren and I had our 57th anniversary on Monday, did we think that would be the last? We didn't. When he had his birthday on Thursday, and our family was there, and it was a special day, did we think it was the last? But he was gone by Saturday morning. Time caught up with him. Time can catch up with you. Be wise. So I'm going to read now the 12th chapter, and I'm going to read just certain verses out of that chapter, verses 9 through 11 and 13 through 14. I won't read them all. Because the preacher was wise, this message that I have written here in this book and I want it to be a message of how I see my life right now is vain. And I want to repent. Remember, that's what that word preacher meant. Repenting soul. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. And he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. I don't know if he ever stood behind a desk and talked to the people, but I'm sure that if he did, he would be saying, be wise.
Yes.
Don't do as I did. How many people will say that? Don't follow me. But then there are others that they will say, follow me.
Yes.
Because they were wise.
Yes.
Didn't Paul say that? Follow me as I follow Christ.
That's right.
He was wise. And so it says, acceptable the preacher. Oh, that was the next verse. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, even words of truth. Oh, would you count your blessings that you can come to service and not be deceived? That you can have a hope of hearing truth?
Amen.
Count your blessings. Be thankful. Be wise for the truth.
Yes.
The words of the wise are as goads and nails fastened by the masters of assemblies and are given from one shepherd. Be wise. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I've given you Ecclesiastes. I've told you all of this was in vain. And I've told you where to, in the beginning, to start out your life being wise. And I'm going to say, in every phase of your life, be wise. And now we come down to the end. And this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Don't think you can keep a secret. There are no secrets with God. He seeth the things that are in darkness. And the scriptures plainly say that those things which were done in secret can be shouted from the housetop. Oh, it may not be quickly. Another scripture says, because judgment is not executed speedily, something happens to the hearts of men.
Yes.
They think they've gotten away with it. You know what? In our law enforcement, there are cases that are called cold cases. Have you ever read anything about that or heard about that?
Yes.
Cases that when a crime was committed, maybe terrible crimes, and they could not find the person that did it. They had all of this evidence. They even had DNA. They had all of this that, but they couldn't find the criminal. And so eventually they just gave up on their research and they put it into a file and it became what was called a cold case. Well, in the 2000, after the year of 2000. They already had DNA testings, and they could prove a lot of things with DNA, but they would still find this case cannot be proven until now. They have what is called genealogy DNA. People have become so interested in their own genealogy. I hope y'all don't mind me telling this. I'm very fascinated with it. That they take their DNA and they find out who their past relatives are, and they just like genealogy. And it's in a database. And they have found out that they can take this DNA from a cold case of 60 years ago. Can you believe that? It does happen. And they can enter that DNA from 60 years ago, and they can put it in this family DNA, this genealogy DNA, and they can, it takes a lot of work, but they can bring it down and find out what family this person was of. Yes. And here this person has thought, nobody will ever know.
That's right.
Be sure your sins will find you out. There's a way to for them to now find out. I find that wonderful, because that's how God is. He knows. So now, this is the conclusion. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I have about 4 points I want to leave with you. I know it's getting after afternoon. And by the way, you that are here, we're having lunch, so you can stay for lunch. What can we learn from Ecclesiastes? Number one, make wise choices. Be wise. Number two, and I've already said this, you might start out right, but you can end up wrong. Number three, if we confess our sins, what happens? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our hope. That's the hope of Ecclesiastes. Number four is that the mercies of God are new every morning. That's what I want us to remember and be take home with us. In a song which has come to me different times this week, I'm just going to give you a couple of verses out of it. It's the Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Don't trust yourself. You may count your life your sweetest part of your life. Don't trust. Solomon trusted in himself. Don't you be that unwise. The last verse says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Oh, if you're here this morning, the final message is, be wise. Amen.